Good morning. I'm so glad to see you here today worshiping with us at First Presbyterian Church, Lufkin. It's such a beautiful day, and we appreciate you choosing to worship with us. We have several announcements that I want to draw your attention to. The flowers that are so beautiful here at the front of our sanctuary were given in memory of Clifford Grimm. After church today, we'll be having a children's activity that will be in the fellowship hall immediately following our service, and so we'd like to encourage all of our children to participate in that. At the close of our service, we will have a congregational meeting today for the purpose of hearing from the nominating committee and electing our officers for the upcoming year. Presbyterian women will meet tomorrow at 5:30, and they'll be working on the Janie bags, which are given to local cancer patients. And we will have our lesson and then follow up that lesson with dinner. The Presbyterian Women is also collecting the thank offering during the month of November, and there is a flyer that's in your bulletin about this offering. We would like to encourage you to participate in that if you so chose. Our pledge cards have been mailed. I'm sure we have some of those available. If you would like one and didn't receive one in the mail, then let one of us know, and we'll be sure and get one for you. And we have several events coming up that will end the month of November. They're noted there at the end of the announcements page. We're going to have our Christmas program will be coming up, and then we'll also have special handbell performances, and then our Advent season will start after that. So, thank you.
This is the house of God. All are welcome here. It's particularly good to see some of our travelers who are back in town. Let us pray. God of widows and strangers, you protect the oppressed and the forgotten and feed the hungry with good things. You stand among us in Christ, offering life to all. Give up open hearts and minds to respond with love to the world, caring for those for whom you care. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. Come and worship God. come and worship God. Come, worship God. The Lord be with you. Let us worship God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to page 353. My hope is built on nothing less. Amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin, and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. O Christ, you praised the gift of the widow who had so little and gave it all. Forgive us, O Christ, for turning our eyes away from people who are trapped in poverty. Forgive us, O Christ, for turning our resources into reasons for pride or greed. Forgive us, O Christ, and by your forgiveness, teach us to follow in your way of generosity. Amen. Good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us.
Christ reigns in power for us, and Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing Glory to God. Receive the peace of God's forgiveness. Pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, let your word rule our hearts and your spirit govern our lives until at last we see the fulfillment of your realm of justice and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today I'll be reading out of the New Testament, Mark 12, verse 38 through 44. And that can be found on page 49 in your pew Bible if you would like to follow along. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearances say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she has to live on." Holy wisdom, holy words. Thanks be to God.
Join me down front. Sloan, are you a priest? Lane, are you a priest? Rob, are you a priest? Good answer. Ryan, are you a priest? Yeah. Good answers. Y'all been reading Martin Luther, right? We just had Reformation Sunday. And one of Martin Luther's central teachings that he taught that was so important to him was that every believer is a priest. Now, what that means is you don't have to go to somebody else to pray for you. You have direct access to God. You don't have to know special words. You don't have to have memorized a special prayer. You can even sit in silence and pray to God. And you have that right because Jesus, our high priest, has given us that right. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are grateful that in the name of Jesus, we can come to you and pray to you, and you will hear our prayers. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Our next scripture is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, beginning with verse 24. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that, the judgment. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We began this series with a sermon on what it means to be a priest in a history lesson about the priesthood after the Egyptian captivity. We next considered what it means that Jesus has ushered us into God's presence and that Jesus understands us like no other. We then talked about the word atonement and three traditional ways of looking at how Jesus reconciles us with God in his atoning role. 2 weeks ago, we focused on why Jesus is the perfect priest for us. Today, I would like to focus on our reformed emphasis on the priesthood of the believer. In the earliest days of the church, groups of believers would meet in houses. The leaders of the house churches were persons who were apostles of Jesus Christ, or persons who had been taught by apostles of Jesus Christ. This developed into an understandable passing on of knowledge and authority, which has been called apostolic succession. Centers of teaching and preaching closely associated with Jesus' apostles were centers of greater authority. The Bishop of Rome, later called the Pope, came to wield the most power and influence because it was the location where two of Jesus' most influential apostles concluded their ministry, that is, Peter and Paul. The authority vested in Rome became so great that the Bishop of Rome became ruler of a church empire that could influence and in many cases dictate to kings of secular empires. A classic example of this is when the Holy Roman Emperor Henry IV clashed with Pope Gregory VII. Because kingdoms had national churches, Henry believed he had the authority to appoint the leaders of the church. Gregory VII disagreed and excommunicated Henry, which Henry was so distressed by this excommunication, which he believed put his soul in jeopardy, that he trekked across the Alps to beg forgiveness from Gregory. Gregory required Henry to wait 3 days barefoot in the snow before he would even see him. Such was the power and influence of the Pope in medieval times. Likewise, the clergy had great power. It was the largely held belief that priests held the power of salvation. The grace of God was mediated by priests through celebration of the sacraments. The power to deny access to the church, known as excommunication, would deny access to the sacraments and thus deny access to the grace of God. Confession to a priest was necessary for forgiveness. Forgiveness was necessary for the release of the soul to heaven. The grace of God and receipt of forgiveness was demonstrated and directly mediated by receiving the bread that was the body of Christ in communion. Baptism by a priest was also seen as necessary for the forgiveness of original sin. And without baptism, even an infant who died was consigned to hell. It's easily seen that controlling the means of forgiveness and access to heaven would hold immense influence. In fact, the Bishop of Rome would place an interdiction on a town, district, or whole country that had offended the Pope in some way. The priests in the area subject to the interdiction were commanded to refuse the sacraments to the people because baptism, marriage, the Eucharist or communion, and last rites were all sacraments. The withholding of sacraments placed the people in fear for their souls. The Pope was seen as having the power of preventing the people from having access to God by controlling the mediation of priests. Martin Luther, the reformer whose 95 theses nailed to the door of the chapel of the Wittenberg Castle were mailed on October 31st, 1517. To Albert of Brandenburg, the Archbishop of Mainz. This date is commemorated each year as Reformation Day, and the Sunday closest to it is Reformation Sunday, which just happened to be October 31st this year. The subject of Luther's 95 theses boiled down to Luther's opposition to the church's practice of mediating forgiveness. Luther believed that forgiveness is between God and the individual believer. Luther emphasized that the Father is accessible to every humble penitent through the Son, Jesus Christ. Luther proclaimed the spiritual priesthood of all believers. Our reading from the Epistle to the Hebrews fits right in with Luther's Reformation appeal to the priesthood of the believer through our priest, our high priest, Jesus. Where there were once mortal human priests who had to seek forgiveness of their own sins, we have a perfect, unblemished, sinless man who has direct access to God. Where there was once a requirement for regular sacrifices, the sacrifice that Jesus made is the once and for all sufficient sacrifice. This passage in Hebrews takes the priesthood of Jesus one step further by saying, quote, "He will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Not only do we have a Savior who mediates our relationship with God, giving us total access to God as individuals, but Jesus also gives us a promised return. That promised return is not a fearful time of judgment, but a joyous promise of reunion with those whom he has saved. The promised return is a victorious return to the one who restored our relationship with God and extended to each of us a royal priesthood. Thanks be to God that each of us has direct access to God, and that each of us can act as our own priest. Amen.
And take the bread and take the wine that represents his body and his blood, which was broken and shed for us. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and from west and from north and from south and meet at the table in the kingdom of God and sup together with the risen Lord. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and broke it. And then they recognized him. Their eyes were open. This is the Lord's table, not First Presbyterian Church of Lufkin's table, not the Presbyterian Church of the United States table. This is the Lord's table, and all who seek him are welcome here. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. In union with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that you will fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in all the world. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ come in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. So on the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, and after having blessed it, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood. As often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the saving life, death, and resurrection of Jesus until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Will the communion servers please come forward? body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the bread of salvation. The blood of Christ shed for you. 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 This is the cup of the new covenant. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe, for you have satisfied our souls with this feast of your grace. Keep us faithful in your service until your realm of glory comes, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Please stand as you're able. Let's say together what we believe. Using the words printed in your bulletin, the the Nicene Creed. It was left out of my bulletin. What do you believe? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 629, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee.
Seated. Will the ushers please come forward? I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our offerings to the Lord.
bountiful God, you give without measure. May our giving reflect your generosity. May our lives overflow with your deep love. Use our lives and the gifts we bring today to share your blessing in the world. Amen.
Please be seated.
Let us pray. The world that God so loves, we pray to the Maker of heaven and earth, saying, "Let your will be done." We pray for the church. Let us become your holy sanctuary. Not a building made by human hands, but a sign of the body of Christ in the world. Let your will be done. We pray for the world. Guide us as we choose our leaders. May our country and the world flourish in peace. Let your will be done. We pray for our communities. Teach us Christ-like generosity and service. Receive the gifts of the poor and lowly, and humble the hearts of the mighty and proud. Let your will be done. We pray for the earth. Keep watch over our cities and towns. Help forests and farmlands to flourish. Restore the beauty of the earth you have made. Let your will be done. We pray for loved ones. Surround and support all those we love, particularly those who are elderly and those who are expecting children. Let your will be done. Sovereign God, keep us watching and working for the promise of your heavenly realm, until all the earth rejoices at your coming in glory through Jesus Christ, the Lord of life. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 647. Give thanks.
Because we give Jesus Christ.
please be seated. We're going, at this point, after the benediction, I will say a prayer and open a congregational meeting. It will be very brief. It's just to elect officers. If you're a visitor, if you want to stay and watch and see how we do it, feel free. If you want to leave after the benediction, feel free to do that as well. Having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to be joyful. Know that you can go directly to God who loves you and came to redeem you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen. At this point, we need a clerk, and I'm asking, Don, would you be willing to serve as the interim clerk and take notes for this? Thank you. Libby, our regular clerk, had a medical procedure and was unable to attend today. And she's okay, as I understand it, but she was just unable to drive today. But Don, if you would take notes as the clerk. At this point, I'd like to open us with prayer. Lord God, we are grateful for this, your church. We are grateful that we can be the body of Christ in your world. We pray that you will guide us as we make decisions for this church in this place. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time I'd like to invite Don Duran, the chairman of the nominations committee, to give us a report from the nominations committee. Don, would you use a microphone so the people who are watching on Facebook can
hear? Oh, okay, good. The Officer Nominating Committee sends its greetings and its nominees for the Office of Elder. The committee nominates for a 3-year term beginning January 1, 2022, Corey Camp, Lori Cummings, and David Franson.
Hearing none, is there a motion that the nomination cease? And then a second? Is there any opposition to that motion? Hearing none, the nomination cease, and the slate is elected by acclamation. Thank you. Let's close our meeting with prayer. Lord God, again, we are grateful for those who are willing to serve, for those who are willing to further your kingdom in this world. We pray that you might fill each of them with your Holy Spirit and guide them. We pray that you might be with us as we go from this place and help us to do your will. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.